totally pathetic, unreliable, known throughout the world for being super weak. Maybe in ancient times it was really strong. That's what the rumors say, but they're probably wrong. But now it's so weak, the weakest in the land. So weak that it's sad, really, really sad.
It's episode 238. That's 238 of the Kaiju Popcast. Welcome, one and all. I am your host, Chad O'Brien. Over there, that guy is Jason Gibson.
Hello.
And one Mr. Chris Charlton is not with us today as we continue our rotation of the second chair. Or first chair. As, you know, things happen.
People are gone. Chair? You're sitting on a chair?
I'm sitting on a sofa.
I'm just sitting on the floor, man. I don't have chairs. I'm too poor for that.
Oh, well. You could sell off a child. I hear that. That could get you some money.
Very profitable. Very profitable.
But, you know, it comes at the cost of your immortal soul.
And probably my marriage.
That's right. And your freedom once the police find out.
Yeah.
So maybe don't do that. children are all lovely and special, and we should cherish them all. And that is our message for today. Thank you all for coming. We will see you another time.
Goodbye.
That's right. So welcome to the Kaiju Popcast, where we talk about video games, the games that be videos.
And all news related.
That's right. Except there's really no news this week, which, for once is actually kind of perfect because, with E3 just a hair more than a week away, I thought it would be best for us to go ahead and do our E3 predictions episode. Now, unfortunately, Chris can't be here, so he can't completely chime in, but I do have his written predictions, which can basically be summed up as E3 sucks and everything sucks.
he's a bit cynical. A little bit.
He's British, so it comes with the territory. But at the same time, like, you know, I still partially agree. E3 does suck. It's becoming more and more irrelevant as time goes on. We've seen with companies like EA, which is just broken off into its own EA Play. I think that's what it's called, EA Play. But companies are now able to just go ahead and do their own thing. Sony does the same thing with the PlayStation Experience, which arguably they use to show off some of their more niche titles. That's where you get things like you got the Tokyo RPG Factory. They showed off some of their I Am Setsuna stuff, and although they did also tease The Last of Us 2. At the last one, so. Right. E3, honestly, I'm gonna say I still like it because I just, I like having a nice full week devoted to, like, all this news. And it can actually get kind of overwhelming because we have to write up stories and watch all the conferences, but I like seeing people aside from myself get interested and excited about this kind of thing. And
yeah, it's always nice to have new trailers for games you're excited about and stuff right. Like that. Right. But like, I mean, like, I've only watched E3 a couple of times now, honestly. And I'm like, how many like really big stories come out of E3 in any given year? Like, not that many, right?
Not a whole lot. But it's more of a hype generator, and that works for me because, as I said, like, I like seeing people get excited because, Basically, throughout the year, you know, I will get excited for games that I like, but at the same time, it feels like, you know, if I talk about a certain game, just on any random week in August, for example, it might, you know, it might just get washed out. Nobody really cares, but, if there's, you know, news coming out during E3, like, more people talk about it, it's a bigger part of the conversation.
Things yeah. Like that. Oh, that's absolutely understandable. You know, it's always nice to have other people talking about the stuff you're talking about so you can talk more about it.
Let's talk about that.
Why don't we?
Right. So, why don't we just go ahead and jump into... Bum, 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 bum. Sorry, we had to cut the music budget, so...
so now Chad is our music production manager, right, as well.
Also Foley artist.
Are you the gaffer?
That's your horse going down the street. And
where are the coconuts? Chad?
They don't sell coconuts in Japan, okay? Or they do, but oh god, are they expensive.
Well, the budget has been cut.
That's right. So your Foley budget is also down to whatever I can find in my immediate vicinity.
Which are apparently your hands.
That's right, my hands. So, fanfare aside, we're going to do predictions.
All right, so are we going to go studio by studio, or you want to start with some specific stuff you're looking for?
Right, we're going to go studio by studio. Cool. And what I think we should do is give each prediction a rating. From what I understand, you've done almost no prep for this.
I read a conglomerated article.
Okay. I'll probably have a few more predictions than you might. Like I said, we're gonna rate these predictions here, and you can just tell me, is it Captain Obvious? Like something that you can completely expect, for example, EA showing off a sports game. That is a Captain Obvious. Yes. Right. The next one is maybe a 50-50 kind of chance. And then the last one will be, I'll eat my hat. If it happens, for example, Sony devoting an entire half hour of their 2 hour presentation to PlayStation VR. That is probably a eat my hat kind of prediction, because it's very, very unlikely to happen.
Okay.
Got the rules down?
Yeah.
Okay. And for everyone that I get right, you will pay me $5, and for everyone that you get right, I'll give you a hearty clap.
Okay, let me open up my Monopoly box here.
There we go.
My money ready.
Surprised you have Monopoly in Japan.
It's in Japanese.
Oh, well. Right then. So we are, as you said earlier, we're going to go studio by studio. The reason we're kind of doing it this week rather than next week when it really starts is mostly just because of the editing work. I tend to take a little while to edit these things, and the first conference is EA's, which is going to it's technically not really E3. It's kind of like the opener to their EA Play, although I do believe it's on the E3 stage. I could be wrong about that.
I think it is.
That is going to be, for us here in Japan, that's going to be 4 a.m. next Saturday. So that will be basically the night of our podcast.
Good luck with that, Chad.
Yeah, so I'm not going to do that. I tend to edit, like, this is where we get into, you know, seeing how the sausage is made, but, we tend to record at 10 o'clock at night and, finish, everything around 11 midnight. And I would rather not have to edit, after that. So I'll be editing on Sundays, and yeah, so, if they're going to do conferences at 4 a.m.
Well, I mean, they're going to have their own thing anyways later, so that the EA thing is probably not super important.
Right. So, yeah, we're going to do it this week. And we're going to start in order. We have EA coming first. Like I said, for us, that's 4 a.m. on Saturday. I don't know what time it is in California, but...
It is 12 p.m.
On Friday, I guess, then?
Yes.
Yeah. Or would that be Saturday? Yeah, it would be Saturday. Yeah. EA comes first. After that is Microsoft, then Bethesda, a PC gaming show that no one ever pays attention to. Ubisoft, however you prefer to pronounce that.
Ubisoft.
Ubisoft, that's right. Ubisoft. And then, the last major hitters are Sony and Nintendo. There's also a Devolver Digital conference, it is scheduled, but we don't know exactly when. They haven't announced that. And honestly, it would be hard to make a prediction about a Devolver Digital conference because all they do is like some really awesome and weird indie shit.
Then get hyped for it, because it's going to be awesome and weird.
Yeah, I mean, I can predict that whatever they show will have excessive amounts of violence, since a lot of their games do. Mm-hmm. Let's start with EA. EA, as everybody knows, owns a lot of sports franchises, the Madden series, the NBA Live series, and NFL. They also own the licenses to Star Wars games, and they own BioWare as well, and just all kinds of different things. It is the one of the largest publishers in the world. You can expect almost anything out of them.
Yeah. I mean, like, they got, Titanfall, Destiny, all that stuff, too.
Yep. But first up, this is going to be... you can rate it, but... Okay. Let's go with Chris's predictions first, so we don't steal any of his thunder.
Fair.
That's right. So, Chris has predicted that EA will show sports. Star Wars, and
Sports Need for Speed Sports.
Well, it's Sports Need for Speed Sports.
Okay,
yeah.
Sports is, what was the 100%? There was 50-50, eat my hat, and what was the first one?
Captain Obvious.
Sports is Captain Obvious.
Right.
Star Wars?
Do you think we'll see all three sports?
All three sports? Football, soccer, mm-hmm. and basketball?
Right.
Yes.
Okay. What are the chances that someone will say 2017 is the year of insert sport?
About all three sports, probably eat my hat, but about at least one of the sports, probably Captain Obvious.
All right, which one? I'm thinking basketball, personally.
Could be. I think it might be football. Definitely not soccer. Not in America.
Not in America, right. FIFA outsells either Madden and NBA Live by millions, but...
Well,
right.
Yes, if E3 was in Europe, then of course, but it's not.
Yeah. That's Gamescom. So, there's that prediction. All right. How about Star Wars? Now, we need to kind of break this down. So, Star Wars itself, I think, is a Captain Obvious award.
We'll see something Star Wars related.
Right. But I think we're definitely going to see, breaking it down, adding extra predictions. I definitely think we're going to see Battlefront 2 gameplay.
Sounds likely.
The other things are that... the in-house studios Visceral, which made Dead Space, and Respawn, which made Titanfall, those are also working on Star Wars games. Both of them are working on separate Star Wars games. And they have been for quite a while. But we really haven't seen anything yet. So, I don't know. I kind of feel like if they show both at once, it might just be too much, like a time sink. So I'm going to guess that they're going to show the Visceral game. That is the one, that's apparently being written by Amy Hennig, who wrote like the first Uncharted games. So, that's going to be my prediction. They show one, but not two of the Star Wars games.
Okay. So you're predicting Battlefront 2 and then one of the others.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, that seems likely. I'd say that's a 50-50 because you know you're going to see the Battlefront 2, but the other two, I'd say that's 50-50.
And if they've got anything else, I mean, they might have some kind of mobile offering or something. I don't know.
Star Wars mobile. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it would sell. no question it would sell.
They're going to make it a gacha game where you can collect your favorite Jedis for $5 a piece.
You're hurting me here. You're hurting me here, Jason. All right, I'll give you the next crack.
Okay, so Need for Speed. We will see, let's see, a trailer for Need for Speed, the next one.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's pretty clear. It's been a while since we've seen one, so I'll give that a Captain Obvious. All right, back to me. I'm going to predict we see Battlefield 1 DLC. Like a story campaign, as well as multiplayer maps.
Yeah, Battlefield 1's been out for quite a while now, like 3 months, right? 3-4 months.
It came out in the big release window in November, so almost half a year. Not half a year.
Then yeah, I'm gonna say that's Captain Obvious. It's got to be coming. It's got to be coming.
Yep.
Okay.
Anything else for you?
Dragon Age. I'm predicting we will see nothing. They might say something like they're working on it, but I'm predicting that we will see nothing about Dragon Age.
Okay. I don't know. I feel like they have to show something from BioWare, especially after the poor performance from Andromeda. So people are going to be looking like, okay, well, this is going to be a dumped property. We need something to look forward to from BioWare. And they've actually been talking about the next Dragon Age for a few months. So I don't know though. I'll give that a 50-50. Like speaking of BioWare, I think, this is my personal, feeling is that this is going to be a pretty low probability, but we might see Andromeda DLC. So the game came out in March, but again, like this it was not well received, and it didn't have a season pass, which kind of shows that they didn't have any long-term DLC plans, if anything. Although, I haven't finished the game, but I hear that it is open-ended. It has a conclusion at the end, but there's some strings left open. So, could be some DLC.
I'll say 50-50 on that one. Right. Yeah, could happen, could not.
Yeah. And then one more prediction, the last thing I've got is just, something super cutesy from, I forget the name of it, but I think it's EA Originals. A couple of years back they had Yarny, who was, the star of Unravel. And, then they had Fe. it was Fe. Right. Which was another cutesy, like, the world was, like, super purple and everything was cute there. So I think we'll see something else from that.
Yeah, I can see that happening. Yeah, I'd say, I don't want to say 50-50, I'd say 60-40.
Okay.
I'm going to change the rating.
You can't just make up new classes of predictions.
Okay.
We have rules here, Gibson.
Slightly more than 50-50.
50-50 plus. All right. And that's all I've got for EA, so unless you've got anything else.
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
Moving on to Microsoft, and I'm going to be completely honest here. I don't really know.
Well, they'll be talking about Scorpio,
right? Which reminds me, let's go back to Chris. Chris, okay. Yes, this is Chris Charlton reporting. Everything is dark and dreary, and
wrong accent.
It's Chad. Raining. I'm not going to even try. Yes, Microsoft Scorpio naturally, but they have to make it look really good on an internet stream to read TVs, which is tough. Sony had the same problem with their PlayStation 4 reveal. Chris also says 4K streaming for this year, perhaps. Also Oculus for Xbox, most likely.
I can see that stuff.
Right. Oculus for Xbox. I know they've been in talks about it, but we haven't heard anything in just forever, so I'm going to give that one a 50-50. The Scorpio is just obvious. They have to. They literally have to talk about it.
Yeah.
I don't know how much time they're going to devote to it or how... I wonder if they've figured out anything after watching Sony's presentation on how they can make it look good. Maybe extreme close-ups where they're like, see this pixel? Now it looks like this. right.
Possibly. But, maybe just lots of explosions.
Yeah, lots of explosions. Yeah, Michael Bay would be proud. speaking of explosions... They might show Crackdown. This is just such a weird one because, like, it's still there. I know it's still there. But, like, it just never comes out. Like, just release it already. So for those who don't know, Crackdown is, like, this really big action game that, like, Crackdown 3, actually. So, really big action game where the biggest talk about it was that it was going to have multiplayer with, like, destructible landscapes. So they showed off, when they were initially talking about it, they showed, like, a multiplayer, you know, first-person shooter where, like, an entire skyscraper was just falling down in real time on a multiplayer map, which is... incredibly
cool.
Right. It's really cool, but also incredibly difficult to do on a technical scale because you have to make sure that skyscraper is falling perfectly on everybody's thing at the same time. So they said they would do that with the power of the cloud. The Microsoft cloud. Years have passed, and we still haven't seen really anything about it. So, if it does not show up this year, then I just don't know. It's like their last guardian. It hasn't been in development that long, but it pretty much is like
it
that.
It might be.
Maybe. Okay.
The One other thing was Sea of Thieves.
Uh-huh.
Do you think we're going to see something about Sea of Thieves? I think we'll see something. I don't know if we'll see like more than like a snippet of gameplay. There'll definitely be a trailer, though.
Okay. I think that's pretty obvious. It was a big showing last year, so they'll want to show it again. And it seemed pretty popular last year as well. So, and it's Rare, and that's one of their... that's one of their few big in-house studios, so they want to show that off. Here's an obvious one for me. Forza. Forza's gonna show up.
Yeah, that's a Captain Obvious. Yeah, it'll be there.
Cause they're gonna use that to show off the Scorpio, so. And then, all right, you got anything else?
I am going to go a bit off the wall and say that there will be at least a trailer for an ancient dug-up IP.
Okay.
Like Battletoads or something.
Battletoads, okay.
Yeah. Something really old that they're going to remake.
Yeah, yeah. Sony's bringing back Crash. We'll bring back Battletoads.
Yes, or something really old. There's going to be a trailer.
Yeah, sure.
That's what I'm going to say.
I'll give that an eat my hat. It'd be cool to see it. Personally, I was never a big fan of Battletoads,
I was just an example.
Okay. So your prediction is any old IP, not just Battletoads.
Yeah. Not specifically Battletoads, but there will be a trailer for an ancient IP. Okay. Such as Battletoads.
In that case, I'm upping it to a 50-50. And at the same time, I'll throw my own pie in the sky kind of prediction out there. And I believe we're going to see Red Dead 2 at the Microsoft conference. Rockstar has to show up somewhere.
It's true.
And I don't think they'll show up at Sony because I've got other people coming over to them. But, we'll probably see it. Plus, I think Rockstar has a better relationship with Microsoft.
Okay, so you think we'll see something, or do you think we'll see, like, some gameplay? Because something, I'm going to say that's probably Captain Obvious. But, like, if you want to be more specific...
I think we'll see gameplay.
We'll see gameplay?
Yeah.
Okay, I'd say 50-50 on that. See, like, actual, like... A significant amount of gameplay. Yeah, I'd say 50-50.
I didn't say it'd be significant. I said we'd see gameplay.
Okay.
It depends on what you think is significant. Some of those gameplay demos at E3 can go up to like 15, 20 minutes.
That would be significant.
Right. And that's all I've got for Microsoft.
Yeah.
So if there's no new business, we'll move on to Bethesda. Let's go back to Chris in the voice in my head. Bethesda, oh God, who cares? Quake Champions and another ESO expansion.
You can tell where his loyalties lie.
That's right. I cannot be more against that opening statement. Who cares about Bethesda? Bethesda is one of my favorites. That being said, I don't think we'll see a lot out of them. It's still too early since Doom, so we're not going to see anything from that. Mm. Fallout again, same issue. They've said that Skyrim is still a long way away, so we're not going to see, Elder Scrolls.
ES6.
Right, ES6. I think we will see an ESO expansion. I'll give that my obvious award. Yeah. Quake Champions, another obvious one, because they have to show that. Mm-hmm. Other than that, things I could see, some Prey DLC.
I'd say that I'd almost give that a Captain Obvious, because it's a pretty well-received game.
Yeah.
And everybody does DLC nowadays, so.
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, the only thing is, like, I'm curious about what you could do with DLC. Well, there are some. Yeah, well, I don't want to say anything.
You do, like, side stories with minor characters or something?
Yep.
Or, like, some prequel stuff?
Yep. Could do that. And then, I'll toss one over to you.
Sure. Wolfenstein.
Wolfenstein, yeah.
Wolfenstein.
That's an obvious one, yeah. I keep forgetting. Was it 2 years ago or last year where they had like the DOS prompt thing come up and it said.
I don't know. I can't remember.
Okay. At one of the E3s they had, they had an opening segment where like a DOS command popped up and it showed like a list of the different titles that were going to be in the conference. One of them, I forget if it said new or old, but it said, I believe it's old, the old Colossus.
I do remember this. I think that was last year because I was on the podcast when that happened.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
So I mean, we'll see that, and it has been quite a while since Wolfenstein, so that's an easy one to pick up. My personal prediction is going to be Evil Within 2.
Yeah, yeah. I don't really want to say Captain Obvious, but it's definitely it's a stronger possibility than a 50-50.
You got to make up more ranks again.
If I had to go with one, I would say 50-50.
Uh-huh. Like, you're going to make up like one. A 75-25, 80-20.
I'm trying to follow your rules. Shut up. If I had to pick one, it would be 50-50.
Okay. I mean, yeah, it's been a while since we've seen anything from Tango Works, I believe it's called. Mm-hmm. I don't think they'll be making a new IP, but... it'll be interesting. I personally did like Evil Within, even though it needed a lot of tweaks. But we'll see. We'll see what happens there. Anything else from you?
Nope.
Okay, I'll throw out one more small prediction. Even I think this is a kind of eat my hat prediction, but we might see some more Skyrim on Switch, seeing like what kind of changes and like in gameplay that there might be.
Like just I could see that happening.
Yeah,
because they don't really have a lot of news or anything else to talk about. Actually, oh, I would say 50-50 on that.
Oh my! I'll toss out another one that I think might be more feasible, and that's that they want to show off the Doom VR and Skyrim VR.
Ah, yeah, the VR predictions. Yes, yeah, I could definitely see it happen. I'm gonna go ahead and give that a Captain Obvious because yeah, that's what they've been hyping for the past 6 months.
Yeah, we'll never see them. PSVR, though. Oh, sad.
Oh, no.
Right. So, moving on. PC Game Show. Crickets, 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 crickets.
We will see lots of indie junk.
That's right. They'll talk about cards and reading speeds and...
Here's one for you. I've got one prediction.
Okay.
There will be... an announcement of the Thief sequel.
At PC Game Show?
Yeah.
Alright. I'm honestly not sure PC Game Show has ever, like, broken a game announcement.
We gotta have something for him. You can't just completely dismiss the PC
Game Show. I absolutely can, good sir. I absolutely can. But you can have your fantasies. I'll eat my hat on that one.
Okay.
Right. So let's move on to Ubisoft. All right. Which is just gonna be jam-packed. Yeah, it's gonna be a mess. That's my prediction.
I will call that Captain Obvious, yeah. Sir.
All right. So, back to Chris in the office. Ubi, same as it was. Far Cry gameplay, more sequels, the new Ass Creed, a really shit game you can play, quote unquote, right now, and a new IP tease at the end that will turn out to be a not very good game.
I like how he called it Ass Creed.
Well, I mean, that's a pretty common nickname for it.
It's still funny.
Yes, yes it is. Well done, Chris. You made Jason laugh
internally.
Yes, internally. Right. So, personal predictions. Well, I mean, yeah. Here's an obvious one for you: Far Cry 5 gameplay.
Captain Obvious.
Yeah, we talked about this last week. They'll probably show like the intro or something like that, where everything's just going down. And they might also talk about like the character creation. And...
Do you think they'll show the part where you sit there for 15 minutes and then win the game?
No.
In Far Cry 4?
Yeah, we talked about that last week.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, yeah. Showing your loyalties, eh?
Are you Canadian now?
Some people want the game to be set in Canada, so,
some people are weird.
Yes. So we'll see that. Okay, off to you.
I will say we will not see Beyond Good and Evil 2. We won't see it.
Okay. I didn't even know that was a rumor, so.
Yeah, it's sort of floating around.
Okay, I'll go with obvious for that then. Here's an obvious one for me. Okay. We'll see another Tom Clancy game.
Yeah, that's going to happen. That's definitely going to happen. Yeah.
It could be Rainbow Six. It could be, well, I was going to say Siege, but that is Rainbow Six. Yeah, maybe not Ghost Recon this time.
Go back Jack to Reacher.
Yeah. Jack Reacher. Yeah. So we'll see something Tom Clancy. Because they've got a hold on that estate, apparently. Off to you.
There will be a new Just Dance game.
That's a Captain Obvious every year. So, I believe we'll see, some sports game that is not a mainstream sport. So
like last curling?
Could be. So last year, they announced Steep, which was all winter sports, snowboarding, skiing.
It looked amazing.
Yeah. And I'm sure it sold well in Europe. Although I've heard literally nothing since launch in America.
I thought about picking it up because I saw when it came out, when it came out. I was like, that looked really cool. And it's because I've always really liked the SSX series.
Uh-huh.
So I wanted to try it out, but then I thought, I got other games to play. I think that's kind of what a lot of people thought.
My personal prediction is we will see something regarding cycling, whether it be BMX or something like that.
Not they're not going to go back to the skateboarding games?
No. Well, of course, Skate is EA, but...
Okay, well, I'll give you the odd sport, mm-hmm. Captain Obvious, but I will give the cycling and eat my hat.
Okay. I mean, cycling is really big over there in Europe, so...
Were they going to go to a Tour de France game?
Could be.
Let's ride a straight line for 10 days.
Could be. Yeah, so that's my prediction. Off to you.
I say that we will see an announcement for a new Assassin's Creed game that is not a continuation of the main series. So, like... those Assassin's Creed knockoffs of Mark of the Ninja. What were those called?
Chronicles.
Chronicles, yeah. Something like that.
Yep, okay.
Related to Assassin's Creed, but not main series.
Yep, I can see that, so I'd give that a 50-50. I mean, there are already... I think there are more games off of the main series than there are in the main series, I believe. Kind of like what Chris said, I kind of agree that at the very end we'll see a brand new IP featuring an open world with a tower or outpost system.
I'll give that a 50-50. I can definitely see it happening.
Okay. Anything else for you?
Nope.
Okay. All right. Last one for me. Pie in the sky kind of guess is, Ubisoft will use their own stage to show off Mario and Rabbids.
I heard about that.
Yeah, we talked about it at length in the last episode. If somebody was listening. But, Mario and Rabbids. Ubisoft is rumored to be doing, like, the heavy lifting. And so, of course, they've got a stake in it, a monetary stake. They might honestly just want to show it off on their stage, which will probably earn more eyes more eyes in like physical term than Nintendo's, because they've got the conference. So if people are just watching the conferences, they might miss the Nintendo Treehouse Live, where they talk about Mario Rabbids. So, it'll be on Ubi's actual conference, and it will get some major draw.
Considering like the leak that just happened, I'm gonna give that a Captain Obvious.
Leak. You have to enunciate your air quotes.
I'm leak. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah. Super high res images don't just leak.
Fair enough.
Yeah. All right. So there you go. That's Ubisoft. Off to Sony. We've got two more. Sony is up first. Back to Chris, who says, Sony, things trudging along, all right. The FF7 remake is in trouble, so they might give Shenmue 3 an airing. For those who don't know, the Final Fantasy VII remake was apparently brought out of CyberConnect 2's hands. They were originally... in charge of developing that, CyberConnect 2 being the makers of games like the Naruto series, and Square Enix apparently wasn't happy with what they were doing, so they pulled it in-house, which definitely means delays for that game. So they might give Shenmue 3 an airing. Back to Chris, by the way. Death Stranding, whatever Ubi game they don't show at Microsoft, and God of War. They'll probably show VR briefly as part of, let's say, Gran Turismo Sport, and that'll be it. Dropped like a bad Vita. right, so, I personally agree that Final Fantasy VII won't be shown, but instead of Shenmue 3, maybe this is more out there prediction, I think this is where we're going to see the rumored Shenmue 1 and 2 remakes.
Could be. So, I think it's more likely we'll see Shenmue 3, but that is a possibility.
I'm not entirely sure, but I think I read somewhere that Shenmue, the team... actually said they just wouldn't be at E3. So I could be wrong about that, but right. So and going completely against Chris, I think we will not see Death Stranding. They may talk about it, but I don't think we'll see anything. Any kind of new trailer or anything like that. Because good Lord, I hope Sony has learned a lesson from No Man's Sky. Not to say that Hideo Kojima is anything like Hello Games, but at the same time, like, they have to have learned that you can't have, like, a 3-4 year hype cycle, for a game that's, like, this early in development.
Yeah.
That game isn't coming out anytime this year, probably not next year, it's probably gonna be 2019. So please, don't show any more right now. Just let it kind of stew.
I feel like they'll do what they did last time, and they will show a trailer, but it will have absolutely nothing in it.
God, I hope not.
It'll just be like the title and like some graphics, and that's it.
God, I hope not. I mean, like, don't get me wrong, I love those trailers. Those are amazing trailers, but geez, please don't do that. Please, Sony. So my prediction, no Death Stranding. Chris's prediction, Death Stranding. Jason, yeah, weigh in.
I feel like Chris is probably right here. Like,
there
will be something related. Obviously, no like actual real trailers, but just something. They'll say something about it.
Okay. Next up, prediction for me, I believe we will see Destiny 2 here.
Yes, I agree. I believe that is a Captain Obvious.
Yeah, it's going to happen. The team seems to have a better relationship with Sony, and I believe they'll be getting exclusive content again. Like, you'll get the DLC a month early, something like that.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Okay. I say we will see The Last of Us 2.
That's another one where, God, I hope not.
No, I think we're gonna see it.
I'll give that an immediate eat in my hat because, it was shown at, the PlayStation Experience, in December. And they specifically said at the very, right before they showed it, they were like, dudes, calm your jets. This is super early. We're not doing anything with it yet. And that's another game where I don't think we'll see it. Like, if it comes out in 2018, it's going to be holiday, but I still think that's another 2019 game.
Okay.
So, yeah, and that's another one where I just don't want super, super long buildup of E3. But, yeah, so I'm going to say eat my hat. My prediction, or next prediction, I think we're going to see, in terms of VR, well, this is kind of a multi-tiered prediction, but we're going to see a showcase. It's going to be both an indie showcase and a VR showcase, or maybe just both, but separate. And it will include, several, like, smaller titles. But I think, in terms of a big title for VR, they're going to announce that there will be a fully playable, solo player, VR campaign in Battlefront 2. It'll be all space combat.
If it's solo player, I'm going to give it a 50-50. If it's just single player VR, yes, I'll give it 50-50.
Okay, well, but what not if I space. Said multiplayer?
Multiplayer, that's a neat my hat.
Okay. I mean, you know, what's that Eve game called? Eve Valkyrie. So space combat can be done. They did have, they were testing the waters last year when they did release the X-Wing experience. So that was like a good 30-minute, mission in and of itself. So I don't really think it's, that difficult to make. I mean, I'm not saying it'll be like a 10-hour campaign, or anything like that, but, even something like 4 or 5 hours, I think they could do it.
Yeah, I can see it. I can definitely see the possibility of that happening.
Yeah, that'll be the big draw there. Anything more for you?
We will see Uncharted 4 DLC.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's supposed to be coming out sometime soon. That story, I forget what it's called, but it features Chloe, who I don't care about, so. And I think somebody still has my copy of Uncharted 4.
I wonder who that could be.
Who could it be? Who indeed? Someone who's in the office making snarky remarks about every, big game publisher. Last thing I'm going to say... Oh, wait, no, I have two more predictions. So first, we're going to see Spider-Man. No gameplay, but we'll probably see another trailer. Well, maybe, like, with some gameplay included in it, but not a full gameplay demo. As well as just another third-party game we'll see is Shadow of War.
That's the Mordor game, right?
Right, right.
Yeah, yeah.
So we'll see more of that. Which, that just got pushed back, I believe, to August, or was it originally August, now October? Anyway, it just suffered a small delay. But, yeah, so we'll see that.
Okay, I got one left. I think we'll see something about that new zombie game, Days Gone.
Ah, Days Gone, yeah. I can see that. They did... At the PlayStation Experience, they had a full-on gameplay demo, so I don't know, like, what more they can do. But we do need to see something, and so we'll probably get a release date sometime holiday this year. Right, so last company, Nintendo!
Yeah!
I was going for Daytona there. Oh, wait, no, that's Nintendo! Nintendo, yeah. Okay. Yeah, sorry. Don't
shoot. Swing and a miss.
That's all I am, you know. But it serves a purpose. I serve as a cautionary tale for people never to do what I do. Right, so Nintendo. Let's go back to Chris, who says, Nintendo Virtual Console, I fucking hope. but it seems like it might not be until the subscription service and 2018. But at least you get to own Balloon Fight again. Right. The stuff that's coming out soon, so Splatoon 2 and Silence on that's all Chris's. Let's get excited for a proper Metroid and F-Zero so they don't deliver. But Mario will be the best game since Zelda, probably, so they win by default. Yeah. So, I would also like to see Virtual Console. At this point, though, I'm gonna give that a 50-50 just because I don't know what's going on in Nintendo's head.
I feel like they'll make an announcement on the Virtual Console, but, like, that's it.
Yeah.
Like, they'll say, like, it's gonna come out next year, and that's all.
Yeah. It's, man. So, in terms of this subscription service, there were a few details released this week where they said it would cost, what was it, 2,400 yen per month, or per year, excuse me. So that's $20 per year U.S. currency. And that's not a bad price for online subscription service, but that there are still so many questions that we need answered, and Nintendo is just like, eh. For example, just this week, we got a preview of what chatting will look like on the Nintendo Switch when, Hori, a video game accessory peripheral company, released images of their official Splatoon 2 headphones, which has a special jack that will plug into both your cell phone and your Switch console. The reason being, Nintendo's voice chat feature will only be on cell phones. It will come through the cell phone. But they have never explicitly said if game audio will also be through that. And one would certainly hope, but if Hori is any indication, apparently no. It will just be chat coming through your cell phone. Game audio will still come through your console. So you have to plug in both into your headphones. Yeah.
That just doesn't make any sense. Yeah. Like, it doesn't make any sense at all. Like, okay, I understand, like, yes, the chat function on your phone probably won't have in-game audio because it's on your phone, and, like, the sync between those two is just, it seems like, just too easy to fuck it up.
Yeah.
But why, in the name of God, would you not put in-game chat on a system that's designed for, like, multiplayer stuff? Right.
Yeah.
Why?
And then, you know, just to add, like, further insult to all of this, it kind of prohibits you from playing the games in TV mode, because the cable is, only 20 inches long, not even 2 feet, and there are no headphone jacks on the Joy-Cons, so, if you want to plug your headphones into the console, it's going to have to be in tabletop mode, or you're going to have to be less than 2 feet away from the TV.
Or you're going to have to buy, like, a 5-meter extension for your headphone jack.
Yep. And then, so you'll plug it into the extension jack, and then that into the mixer, and then the other mixer jack into your cell phone, and... Oh, this is just a colossal fuck up. We are getting off topic.
What was the topic?
Nintendo E3.
Okay. Yeah, let's go back there.
Right. So, we might see Virtual Console. We might not. We'll obviously see Super Mario Odyssey. And we'll probably see more of ARMS. They'll probably talk about how many people played in the test punches. and like how many pre-orders, you know, try to get that last minute hype before.
Wait, was that the official title for the stress tests?
Yes.
Test punches.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
nice.
Yeah. Splatoon does test fire. So, yeah. Right. And then on to actual, like, kind of predictions.
Okay.
I think we will see Pokemon Stars.
I haven't heard about that one.
So, mean, like,
that's just me being out of the loop, but.
Well, you know Pokemon Sun and Moon.
Yes.
And you know how Pokemon always has a third.
Okay, that's what it is. Okay,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
So, Pokemon Stars will come to the Switch, rather than the 3DS.
You don't think it'll do both?
Could do both. Yeah, it could do both, I guess. But if they do both, then the one on Switch won't look as good as it could be, because it will probably have to have some kind of parity.
It's true.
Right. So that's one prediction. How about you? Okay.
I think we will get a teaser, like a tease of a teaser for Metroid. Something Metroid related.
I'm going to eat my hat on that.
I don't think it's going to happen either.
I think everyone wants it. Everyone wants it. But I'll bet you, before that happens, I'll bet you Reggie Fils-Aimé will come out in a full, like, cosplay Metroid outfit and then talk about Pikmin. as if he's not wearing anything special. He'll just be like, hey, just guys. Just
to fuck with you.
That's right, just to fuck with us. Yeah, I think that's more likely to happen than anything actually regarding Metroid. right. So, this has already been announced, in Japan, but, I think we'll see, an announcement for Monster Hunter Double Cross coming to Switch in the West.
Yeah, I'm gonna give that an obvious.
Yeah. This is kind of what I was talking about with Pokemon Stars. So, Monster Hunter Double Cross is already a 3DS game, and apparently it's going to be cross-play compatible with the Switch, so for online play and stuff like that. And you can even transfer your data from a 3DS version to the Switch version, but you have to buy. It's not cross-buy. But the thing is, there's been... Many people have complained, saying like, oh, just look at that Switch version. It doesn't look much better than the 3DS version. And yeah, there's a reason for that, because they have to be able to play together. You can't do like 60 frames per second on one and 30 frames per second on the 3DS.
It doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way.
Yeah. Might do for solo play. I don't know, but definitely not for online. Right. Anyway. That's my guess.
Okay, I say we'll see some Fire Emblem news.
Ooh, Fire Emblem.
Your spirit shall shine. Yes, I know the song. Yeah, we'll see some news about Fire Emblem.
Yeah, I think that's pretty obvious. I think we'll see two bits about Fire Emblem. One, we'll see Fire Emblem Musou, or the Fire Emblem Warriors.
Right.
And two, I think we'll see, like, not anything full on, but just like a brief little tease about like an actual Fire Emblem game coming out.
The quote unquote Fire Emblem Switch.
Right.
That's been floating around.
Yeah. All right. So, my next one, I believe we'll see a more complete trailer. Maybe not gameplay, but, not simply the teaser trailer that we saw for the Shin Megami Tensei project on the Switch. So we'll see what kind of game that is. Maybe like a character roster, or, you know, what's the setting going to be? Stuff like that.
As cool as that would be, I'm still going to eat my hat on it.
All right.
I say, and this is out there, we'll see a new Donkey Kong game of some kind.
Huh. I'm gonna give that 50-50. Some part of me thinks that they'll just shoehorn Donkey Kong into Super Mario Odyssey, because after all, it is New Donk City. And I don't know, there might just be segments in Super Mario Odyssey where it's like, instead of Mario, you play as Donkey Kong. Or that might be DLC, now that they've fully embraced, like, DLC packs and stuff.
Right.
Yeah, so for right now, I'll give that a 50-50. And I am out of predictions.
Let me think. I think they will... This is my last one. I think they will detail some new Breath of the Wild DLC.
Well, yeah. That's kind of obvious. The one pack is already out, and there's another pack coming out towards the holiday, so they need to detail that. Right. So, other, like, just general predictions. I'm going to guess Ubisoft is going to do some kind of performance art piece that will make people just incredibly uncomfortable in their seats.
Yeah, that's obvious.
Yeah. Laser tag or something like that. But, yeah. And that's about it. So.
Yeah, I'm going to predict that I will watch mostly none of it.
I'm gonna watch it all, except for PC, because I do not care.
I might actually watch that one.
All right. You're going to watch for that Thief 2 reveal.
You mean 5?
Oh, right, sorry. Well, new Thief 2.
This is going to remake Thief 2? That was the best one, in my opinion.
That's right. Right. And so those are going to be games that are a long way off. They're already a long way off in our heads and in our hearts. But we have been playing games this week as well. One game that we're going to talk about, I haven't played at all this week because I have given up on it.
I haven't played it this week either.
Yeah, because, I bounced off pretty hard from The Surge.
Yeah, I think we both picked it up around the same time 2 weeks ago, right?
That's right. So,
yeah.
For those who don't know, The Surge is made by Deck 13 Interactive, which is the team that made Lords of the Fallen, which at the time was considered a kind of Dark Souls knockoff. And then The Surge was announced, and from its description, it kind of seemed like a Dark Souls knockoff in space. And that's kind of what it is. Not really, having played it, I
wouldn't even call it a knockoff.
Yeah.
Really? Like, knockoff is giving it too much credit, to be honest.
That's true. Plus, it's not in space. It's just in the future.
That's true. It's robots.
Yep, it's robots. In this kind of dystopian future, we've seen the far extreme of what global warming and climate change will bring to the world. And there's a company, what's it called? Creo?
Yeah,
Creo is apparently the answer to the future. They're going to
terraform the planet or something. It's not really clear, actually, what they're going to do.
Well, I mean, I'm sure it was kind of cleared up.
If you played the game, maybe, later in the game, sure.
Yeah. But as far as we got, it wasn't completely explained, but it had something to do with satellites. They needed lots of manpower to build and launch those satellites. And that also involved hiring people who are differently abled and bringing them to centers where they are surgically grafted to exoskeletons.
To bring them back to fully abled again.
Right. But it seems something went horribly wrong, not just for your character, but for several characters, because there is, like, no anesthesia administered, and they are fully cognizant when it happens, in a very, very graphic opening scene.
Yeah, that first cutscene was pretty brutal.
Yeah.
Pretty brutal.
Right. So once everything is cleared up and you've got your exoskeleton, the game works on the premise. It was a pretty interesting premise when it was first talked about, that you go around. There are other people in these exoskeletons, but they've kind of
they're
lost.
Crazy.
Yeah, they're crazy.
And you're not.
Yeah. Basically, it's kind of like Dr. Octopus from the second Spider-Man movie. The suit has taken over, basically. It's eaten away at their brains, and now, they are just mindless drones. And apparently they, don't like humans anymore. So they try to hurt you, and you try to hurt them back. They are equipped with better armor or better gear overall.
Or weapons or whatever. Yeah.
And you want that gear. So, the premise here is that you can go up to the enemies, and like many third-party action games, you can lock onto a target and fight them. But in this one, you can select specific body parts, whether it be head, torso, or the limbs, and attack those parts directly. And after you do a certain amount of damage, you can lop it off.
Dismemberment.
That's right, dismemberment. And that's important because then you are able to get, well, not that gear specifically, unless it's the weapon, but you get a blueprint for that gear, which makes very little sense.
Yeah, like when I first heard about it, I thought like, oh, hey, like I like that guy's armor. I'm going to cut his arm off, and now I have his arm armor, and I can like hook it onto my stuff. That's cool, right? But like, oh, you get a blueprint. Like what?
Yep.
What?
So you take your blueprints, you go back to the medical bay, which kind of serves as the bonfire from Dark Souls, and you can build it, assuming you have enough scrap, souls, as well as various other kind of crafting materials that you get from chopping off similar body parts. The problem is, because it's this system where you're kind of cutting up people and getting their schematics and then trying to build your own armor set, a lot of, like 90% of the enemies are just like dudes in exoskeletons, and they kind of have the same kind of attacks and same kind of movement. There's very little variety. There are a few like little drone robots that will attack you.
And once in a while you'll find like a giant like crushing robot that you can kill, but it doesn't like those are like few and far between.
Yep. And they're hardly challenging. The humans themselves can be a challenge, so very much like Dark Souls, you can get destroyed pretty quickly. When you die, you leave your scrap behind, you get regenerated in the med bay, and you have to go get your scrap. There's a little bit of a kind of rush to get it because, there's a timer, attached where as soon as you leave the med bay, it'll start counting down. And once the timer runs out, that scrap is just gone. So
yeah, I didn't really understand the rationale behind like how you just sort of reappear in the med bay. Like in the Souls games, like it's explained, like you're an undead and it's like magic, right? You know, you just sort of respawn. You just can't die. But I don't know if maybe it's like explained later in the game how you're unkillable in this game, but it seemed really, really like.
I mean that's one of the things I'm willing to just, you know, forgive because, you know, video games, because not everything has to be explained that way. I mean, you know, technically, no matter how much of a badass you are, once you take enough hits, you're just gonna die anyway. So,
but that's true. But like, then I gotta like the only thing that really bothers me about it is like, okay, you dropped your scrap.
Yeah,
but. But I'm back here in the med bay now.
Yeah.
Who brought me from my scrap back to the med bay?
Now I just imagine some like EMT kind of guy coming up and going like, okay guys, empty his pockets of all scrap, just leave it here, and then drag him off.
Yeah, like that's the thing that gets me. Like, yeah, I could chalk it up to Vigi games if you just didn't drop your scrap, or yeah. if the scrap just disappeared, you just lost it all and you couldn't get it back. Mm. But it's still there, and you're not.
I mean, who knows? Maybe the whole time, it's your exosuit punching the people and cutting them up, but your actual hands are just gripping the scrap the entire time.
Well, maybe your exosuit becomes alive when you're not, and then walks back to the med bay.
That's another possibility. Yeah. Something like that. Right. So there are a lot of nitpicky things too that just kind of build up into an overall lame experience. Mm. For one, the med bay has this really odd kind of sad folksy country song playing whenever you go in, which yeah. I wouldn't mind if that was the theme of the game, if you heard more of this type of music, I would honestly be okay with that. But you don't. You leave the med bay and it's complete silence.
Yeah, there's no music.
Yeah. And then you come back in, it doesn't matter what med bay you're in, what area you go to, it's always the same music. And it just gets old. There are story elements. You can actually talk to people.
It's true.
You have a voice. And
you have a name.
Yeah, you have a name. If you're looking for an actual story, there actually does seem to be one there. It's not very interesting. I ran across this character who was oh, I need to check the, what was it called? The error databases or something. And so I found one right near the guy and I activated it. And he's like, yeah, you can check these to find out what happened here, you know? I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, I want to know this. And I'm listening and it's bored tutorial voice lady speaking for 5 minutes about error in cargo shipping container. Cargo container has broken open and released cargo within. I'm like, okay, good Lord, I don't need to hear that for 5 minutes. It's just so I kind of bounced off that game.
It's not good.
Yeah.
It's not good.
I won't be going back. But speaking of bouncing and flopping and jumping.
Yeah, I've been playing a game this week called Magikarp Jump.
Jump, Magikarp!
Jump, Magikarp! It's a mobile game. It's annoying. It's a new... I'm sorry. It's the second Pokemon mobile property to have been released.
But this one is by Nintendo.
This one is by Nintendo, even though it says the Pokemon Company when you boot it up. It is by Nintendo. It's kind of like a standard grinder game, yep. One of those time-wasty grinder games. You start off, you fish up a Pokemon. Well, you have your little trainer guy, and he goes to a village, and the village elder says, oh, we train Pokemon here, but we all train Magikarps, and we all train them to jump at each other. So he gives you a rod and you go fish up a Pokemon. And what you do is you take the Magikarp and you can feed it, it's the main game screen is it's swimming around in its pond and there's little berries that pop up. So you tap the berries and the Magikarp goes and eats it, or you can train it. And, you have three training points and they regenerate one every half hour. So you can go do different training things. You can make it tackle. You can make it tackle a giant punching bag, or you can make it jump into a jump counter, or there's other things you can get. But the main point is to increase its JP or jump power so that you can take it to the league battles where it will compete in jumping contests against the other Magikarps. The underlying game itself is not particularly interesting. you just, you know, you grind up JP on your Magikarp until it gets maxed out. The Magikarp retires, and then the accumulated trainer experience you get has increased the maximum level of Magikarp that you can train. So you go back and get a new Magikarp, retrain it to maximum level, wash, rinse, and repeat over and over and over again. That's the underlying gameplay. But I really enjoyed the game just because it's freaking hilarious. I mean, just the concept itself is hilarious. Like, we're going to make a game and it's going to be entirely about Magikarp.
Yeah.
The most worthless Pokemon ever.
Like, how does it look, like animation and stuff like that?
It's pretty good. I mean, like, it's not like a real like Pokemon game. It's sure. Obviously like just like sprites, but it's well done. It looks nice.
Games use sprites, by the way, but
well, I mean, like, not like fluid sprites. They're okay, actually like, okay. It's quite obvious that it's kind of like just frames. But it's really funny because when you're walking your Pokemon to different places, like, it'll show you a little cutscene, and if it's just the Pokemon, like, he's just flopping around on the ground, like, beside you. The fish flopping down the road. It's really funny. And like, you can train him up in different ways. And like, after you do a training, there's a chance that an event will happen. Like, for instance, you might stop by like a tree and you'll see some fruit on it. And you can decide, do you want your Magikarp to jump and try and get the fruit? Or do you
Of course you would.
Or do you not? But if you do try and jump to get the fruit, there's like a 50-50 chance that a Pidgeotto will come by and like snatch your Magikarp.
Oh my god!
And kill it. And eat it. It's awesome. Okay,
this game is obviously rated AO, adults only.
Well, I mean, yeah, I think they gloss over it. It's like, oh no, Magikarp is gone. Uh-oh.
I'll just get a new one.
Yes, go fish up a new one. Yeah, you go see the mayor and he's like, wow, you're not doing a great job, are you? Here's another fishing rod. Go get another one.
It's great that you build up such significant bonds.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, there's tons of different ways that you can kill your Magikarp.
Oh, Jesus.
My most favorite way that I've found to retire a Magikarp unceremoniously is every Magikarp that you get becomes pre-equipped with an Everstone, which you played Pokemon, right?
Everstone prevents them from evolving. So.
Right. That's exactly what it does. So every Magikarp comes pre-equipped with an Everstone because, well, they have to stay Magikarp to compete in the Magikarp League. But if you are on the main screen and you tap on your Magikarp, I think it's like 100 times in a row. It's a lot. It takes a long time. Then a little dialogue box will come up that says, huh? The Everstone cracked and broke. So you're like, so you don't have an Everstone anymore. And then the next time you level up, you're... a Magikarp, it will turn into a Gyarados.
Oh, great.
And you have to retire it because it cannot compete in the Magikarp jumping
what? League. Gyarados can jump.
But it's not a Magikarp. It can't compete in the Magikarp League.
You just paint it red.
Yeah, that's really funny. So you can fish up all sorts of different kinds of Magikarp. Like, you can get the gold one. I've actually gotten the gold one twice. Like, it gives you a bonus to your, like, coins that you earn, and you use the coins to buy, like, new fruits or new trainings that you can use for training your Magikarp. So, yeah, I mean, I would say it's good for about a week of, like, laughs. Sure. And then after that, it's just any other random grinding game. My son really loves it. Like, I stopped playing it a couple days ago, and then I showed it to my son, and he's like, this is the best thing ever. But he's six, so.
I do believe, I could be mistaken since I've never actually gotten one, but I do believe that the shiny version of Gyarados actually is red.
Could be. I don't know. Maybe if you break the Everstone on a golden Magikarp, it will turn into a red Gyarados. But okay. I'm not going to try that out.
Yeah. Just a quick note for those who don't know. Shiny in the Pokemon terminology, it does not mean that they are like golden or silver or anything like that. It just means they're rare. And it refers to when you find them in the game, there's a shine that kind of appears. It goes twing there. Those are why they're called shiny. Yep.
Yes, Magikarp Jump. It's a fun game. And then stop playing it after a week.
And it includes some awesome music, which we'll use to start the episode.
All right.
Right, so Speaking of flopping around, I played Star Trek Bridge Crew.
Flopping around.
That's right.
What are you, Captain Kirk? Was there a bedroom?
Man, what is with you this week in AO games? So Star Trek Bridge Crew is it's an Ubisoft offering, also with some help from Red Storm Entertainment. And it is a completely VR game. So available on PSVR, Vive, Oculus, and it's actually cross-platform compatible, so you can I can play with PC people, stuff like that. It is a lot of fun. I'm going to say that, but I will add a caveat. It is a lot of fun if you have a friend to play it with. So I've been seeing stuff about this game for a while, but at the same time, I guess I really wasn't looking at screenshots or anything like that, because I don't know, I had this image that that every player was basically assigned just like one or two buttons, like fire or shields. But apparently it's a lot more complex. So for those who don't know, again, it's a VR game, and like the title says, you are the crew of the bridge in Star Trek. So there are two ships available. You can either be on the USS Aegis or the original Enterprise. From the 1960s series. It's a lot of fun. So each of the four players, you can have up to four in the group, will take a position on the bridge. You'll have one captain, one person at helm, which is where you kind of steer and navigate the ship and activate warp jumps and things like that. One person at tactical, which is for shields, phasers, torpedoes, scanning targets and things like that. And the last spot is for the engineer, who kind of routes power where it needs to go, whether that be shields or phasers and things like that. I think I've said things like that like five times in the past minute, but sorry about that. And things
sorry
like
about
that.
Things like that.
Yep. So when you go out, you have to have one person playing as captain. Me and currently only one other friend has the capability to play. So we have been playing together, one of us being captain and the other taking various spots. If you are in the game and you find like one spot's really not working for you, or you're not enjoying how an AI character is handling a certain spot, you can actually swap out. And the captain is kind of funny. Captain can go anywhere. And when that happens, there is no AI to replace the captain, because that's just you. If, for example, you're the engineer and you pop over to tactical, an AI will pop up to take your place, but not for the captain. The Aegis is your ship, and this is set in the new Star Trek cinematic universe.
Okay.
So the missions, there's like a 5-mission campaign, which will take you just a few hours to complete. The mission kind of concerns like scanning, trying to find like new compatible homes that the surviving Vulcans can settle on. So, kind of spoilers for Star Trek, I guess.
If you haven't seen it in the last 7 years or however long it's been.
You take the Aegis, you go around to various places, you encounter Klingons, you encounter anomalies, you have to save people from ships that are about to be destroyed, suns will go Nova on you, and... all kinds of different things. Now, you are kind of stuck where you are, in just like a seated position on the bridge, looking at this view screen basically the entire time. Each position has, a kind of computer console ahead of them, and they're able to do certain things. I mentioned the various tasks before, but, you know, each kind of computer console is different. So, for example, the helm, on the left side, you've got your speed. You can either go forward and back. You've got, it's kind of funny. There's just like this big handle that's only for doing warp, and it's great because you just like slam it forward. Boom! And then there's, a kind of neat little steering system where you just, you put your hand down and you, move. It kind of looks like a trackball, sort of. Huh. So you just tilt it where you want to go. But at any time, you can, if you just want to get like a greater view of what's going on around you, you can press a certain button and it'll just give you like the space view so you can look all around the ship. It's pretty funny when you do it as captain, like your character, while you're looking around, your character will suddenly just like lean back in their seat and cross their legs as you serve it. No other character does that. Just the captain.
Contemplating the universe.
That's right. It's pretty fun. So as the captain, I forgot to mention what he does, basically controls the ship. So, with three players, I could imagine that the captain really doesn't have to do much except like just say things. But at the same time, if you've got three competent players with you, I imagine everybody knows what they're supposed to do, because you hear things like, we're under attack, and you get hit by missiles. What are you gonna do? You raise the shields and you start firing back, things like that. Like I said, I've just been playing with one other person, and in that case, as the captain, I do have to issue commands. So, you know, we'll be attacked by Klingons, but we still have to save, like, the ship, so I have to tell, Tactical not to raise the shields, because we have to, you have to lower them to transport people over. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I have to tell Engineering to give more power to the phasers, and then, you know, I have to tell Helm, to steer around these certain asteroids, or, because you can only fire phasers forward, like, steer the ship so that we're actually facing the Klingons that are attacking us and things like that. Mm. So,
so you give the orders to the AI then?
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
It's really intuitive. You just sit in the captain's chair, you face them, you press a button, and it brings up like a list of commands that you can do. I played this both with the DualShock 4 controller, which works. It's functional. It's also a lot easier to just like make sure you're on a certain button, because you just move the analog stick until you're there, and then press L1 or R1 to actually activate it. And I've also played it with PlayStation Move, which gives you like full movement of your arms, and that's where I say like we flail around, because we like to role play when we're in there, and we get hit by torpedoes and we hit red alert and wah.
do you do the whole like? Like the fake rocking back and forth?
Haven't done that. Although, I did have last night an experience where, I don't know what was going on. The camera stopped picking up my feed or something like that. First off, the entire ship was just rocking back and forward. And then eventually, like, my arms kind of folded in on themselves and I couldn't reach my own console, which was really bad, because like I was in the helm position and we were trying to transport these people off ship, and we were under attack by three Klingons, and I'm trying to steer the ship but I can't reach the console, and eventually we decided like, let's just get out of here, but the problem is, being at helm, I was in charge of the warp and I couldn't reach the stick. So eventually I managed to like, it was just like the camera couldn't find out like where I was facing or something like that. I eventually managed to face another position. I think it was tactical, and like twist my body 180 degrees from them, which somehow registered that I was facing that direction, and then I was able to like transfer over to that spot. So then the captain could just say, like, tell the AI, okay, let's warp out of here. Yeah, so, yeah. And then, apart from the campaign missions, there are, ongoing voyages. There's a whole bunch of nostalgic throwbacks like that, but ongoing voyages are the, kind of dynamic missions. You go to random places and it gives you random objectives like save these people from the ship or, fight these Klingons, stuff like that. And, you can do that in either the Aegis or the original Enterprise. And the original Enterprise is crazy hard. Mm-hmm. The Aegis, it's all like fully, like the displays are all like holographic displays. They pop up and it's like, here's the information you need. Tap this, everything's mm-hmm. explained. But in the original Enterprise, no. Your local map readout is a clipboard that you pick up. you look and you're like, okay.
What?
I just see like red. You can see like the shapes. You're like, okay, there's a ship here. But then like none of the buttons are labeled. So you're, it's just like, it looks like you've just got Jolly Ranchers on your armrest.
You just have to know what they do.
Well, there is a button that will tell you what each button does, but like, you know, you can't keep that on all the time, right? So it's like, you're not supposed to anyway. So it's like, okay, I need to warp to this. I need to warp to a certain system, but, the problem is, like, I have to look down to make sure I'm pressing the right button, but the selection is up on the view screen. So I'm like, press, look at view screen, press, look at, oh crap, I hit the wrong button. Okay, now I gotta go back to the warp map and, yeah. And then things like, when you scan a ship, there's no scanner readout. This is tactical. There's no scanner readout right in front of you like there is on the Aegis. Instead, scanner readouts are on monitors that are just around the ship's bridge. So, like, if you're scanning an object, you have to actually look at other computers in the room. yeah, and it's really hard, but a lot of fun. It is, pretty expensive. It's a $50 game. Yeah, if you've got friends that, you know, are, you know, nerdy, then it's a pretty good time. And
sounds good.
And that's it. That's all the games I've been playing.
Yep.
Now there are other games coming out next week. Not a whole lot, as we approach E3, kind of trickles out. We do have, for example, Cladoon Returns. This is Sengoku. No clue.
Okay.
That's right. No clue who Cladoon is or where he or she is returning from, or why this is Sengoku, but, there you go. Right. Then you have Dark Rose Valkyrie for the PS4. That's a Japanese action role-playing game. Dirt 4 for PC, PS4, and Xbox One. Chris mm-hmm. might pick that up. He enjoys the Dirt games. Farming Simulator 18 for 3DS and PlayStation Vita.
Okay.
Yeah. There you go. The second episode of Guardians of the Galaxy, the Telltale series, is coming to everything. Wipeout Omega Collection coming to PS4. I believe, that is, I know it's Wipeout HD and HD Fury. I forget what the last game is though. Yeah, so Wipeout's a pretty fun game. Superbeat Zonic, is coming to PS4 and Xbox One. That's a rhythm game. And that does it for the multi releases. These are just for PS4 now. Here we go. There's a Here we go. Jump Stars for PS4. Kind of looks like a, it says it's a party game. Neighbor Horde is a couch co-op shoot 'em up.
Okay.
Perception is a, this was actually, an interesting game. It's, a horror game where you play a blind girl, who goes into a haunted house, and she's got a mechanic. She's kind of like Daredevil.
Okay.
So, you have your, you know, the cane, or the stick, and you tap things, and it makes an echo, and you can see, quote unquote see. And then of course, when other things make sounds as well, you can see, ah, okay, it's over there. So, at the same time, you have to avoid a ghost, right?
Mm.
It seems kind of interesting. I might pick that up. I don't know. Plague Road for PS Vita. Don't know what it is, but it's got a guy with a plague doctor mask. So, okay. Randall for PS4. About a telepath with schizophrenia.
Whose name is Randall, I guess?
Yes, yes. Here we go. Randall wakes up in a dystopian world in which people are content living under constant surveillance and absolute control. Players take on the part of Randall, a powerful telepath with a touch of schizophrenia. His abilities allow him to control and play as every single character on screen.
Hmm.
So there you go. Okay. Special delivery for PSVR, which kind of looks like VR Paperboy. Super Meat Sonic, as I said. The Town of Light for PS4. Seems like a interactive narrative, also known as Walking Sim. Victor Vran for PS4. Kind of looks like an action, like a horror action game. And that is going to do it. Those are all of our games for the week. And if you're interested in reviews, news, videos, and stuff like that, you can always go over to our website at kaijupop.com. Check out things there. I'll probably pop out a few reviews, along with, I've got to get my Nog video put up there. And I'm going to try to get a Star Trek Bridge Crew video as well. And so we'll have, stuff going up through the week. You can also check out our social media websites at Twitter, twitter.com/kaijupop or youtube.com/kaijupop, and see everything over there. If you want to get in touch with us personally, I am on Twitter at Kyoshibanzai.
You can see me at Gibsaurus.
And as always, we want to thank you guys for liking, subscribing, and doing all that nice stuff to our content. And we will talk to you another time. So, goodbye.
See ya.